Nicola Metulev. I'm a part of what we call a platform technical evangelist. My job mostly is to just make apps. I just sit in my office and I just write apps, so it's a pretty nice job. You can find me on Twitter, that's my handle, or you can email me and I can give you my card. Before we go in, I just want to go over the agenda, what we're going to discuss. I'm going to do a quick overview of Windows Azure Mobile Services, what it is, how to get to it. We're going to go over how to store data in mobile services, how to use push notifications to your Windows Store apps, how to use authentication with different providers, how to use the scheduler to do different things to your data or sending push notifications. And finally, we're going to go over how to view diagnostic data and how to scale up and scale out your mobile services depending on your needs. So I heard you already went over mobile services in the keynote today, so I'm going to be kind of quick about this. Mobile services was created because there was a need for a very quick backend for mobile applications. So you can just get to it, set it up, and you can get going with your applications. It provides a very easy way to store structured data. And you can access this data through REST APIs that live right above this data. We have what's called server logic, where you can intercept each one of the operations for inserting or selecting data, and where you can enter your business logic, so you can do things like push notification, aggregation of data, et cetera. We have modules that make authentication for your users very easy. We authenticate against a Microsoft account, Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts, and some other services. And all you have to do is just write two simple lines of code, and this will allow mobile services to authenticate your users, and you can get more control of what users are accessing what data. We've made sending push notifications very easy through mobile services. We have support for sending push notifications to Windows Store applications, Windows Phone 8 applications, iOS applications, and soon Android as well. We've added a scheduler that allows you to set up a server logic that can do things like backing up your data or aggregating RSS feeds and sending push notifications every 15 minutes, for example. And we're going to go into and see how to use that. We have a really nice web portal that you can actually see and manage your data. You can see logs of what users are accessing the data, if there are any errors, and you can see how much data users are using, and if you need to, you can scale up or scale down. And I'm going to see a very simple way how to do that. So as I mentioned before, currently we have SDKs for Windows Store applications, Windows Phone 8 applications, iOS, Android, and recently we added HTML and JavaScript web application SDKs. However, mobile services is actually just a REST API living on top of a data service. So you can actually code against this REST API for any other applications as well. The problem that we solve in mobile services is that we give you a ready package for very key scenarios that you can just take and use, and you don't have to worry about implementing authentication or implementing push notifications, and you can just focus on the business logic of your application, and you can quickly finish your applications and push them to your users. So time is money, and this saves you a lot of money. So I'm going to go into our Azure portal. I'm going to show you how to create a mobile service, how to actually start coding a Windows Store application. So right now, let me just go back here. This is the Windows Azure portal. If you've never been here, you just go to windowsazure.com, and you click on portal. And this will show you all the different Azure services that are available to you. Mobile services might not be there because it's in preview, so you would have to opt in to using mobile services. So I've already done that, and I already have a few mobile services installed. You already see I have three that I've been playing with just for testing purposes. And then to create a new mobile service, it's very simple. You just click the plus button where it says new, And then you simply make sure mobile service is selected, and you click on create. You have to give it a name, and this will end up being your endpoint, which you can use. And then I decided to use an existing SQL database that I already have, but this, through this wizard, you can also create a new SQL database. You don't have to go create a database through the SQL portal and then come here and create a mobile service. You can do that. And then I have to just enter my credentials for my SQL database. And then this will go ahead and start creating my mobile service, so you can see right here at the bottom. While this is doing, what is actually happening is setting up your database in your SQL instance. It's also setting up a REST endpoint, which at the time this is created, you'll be able to go in and actually hit through a web browser, for example, and actually see all kind of calls you can make to it. You're also able to add multiple mobile services to a same database. So you can only have, for example, one database, and you have 10 instances of different mobile services on there. And the way that works is it creates a different, we use a schema that allows us to separate each one of the mobile services. And of course, when you are in front of people and doing demo, it's going to take longer than otherwise. Okay, here we go. Okay, so when it's ready, you simply just go in there. And then the first thing you see is a welcome screen that just kind of helps you out. And you can go here, you can go anywhere from here. I'm going to show you how to do a Windows Store application, so I'm going to select that. But you can see we have platforms that you can choose from for the five different platforms that I mentioned before. And then under Windows Store, you can either choose to create a new Windows Store application, or you can choose to connect an existing Windows Store application. If you were connecting an existing Store application and you already had one, first thing you have to do is get the mobile services SDK. This is just a few megabytes download, and it takes about 2 minutes to install. I've already done that. But before you actually use mobile service, you have to download this. And then you can just copy this snippet here. And this just basically is, I'm going to see this in the application that we create. It's just a way to connect to mobile services. It's an object that you route all your calls to mobile services. And here you already has our endpoint, which is whatever, that's what we called it. And this is our secret key, which I'll show you where to get. And then simply, you have to have a way to store the data. So you can press this button, for example, and this will create a table for you automatically. We can create the table yourself. And then here's just a sample of how to actually add items to mobile services. However, since I don't have an existing application, I'm going to go in and create a new application. So to do that, first thing it says, you have to have Visual Studio Express or higher. And then you have to install the mobile services SDK. And then we have to create the to-do item table, which our new application is going to use. So I'm going to click that, and that's going to go ahead and just add a table to our database. And then you can see after that table has been created, you can go to the data tab, which I'll show you in a minute, and we can see our table. And then the third step is to select what language we want our application. I'm going to choose C#. That's my preferred language. But we also have support for JavaScript. And also we have support for Visual Basic and native C++, but we don't have starter projects for those. So just download this project. So this is package a Visual Studio project for us. Allow us to download it. And I'm going to save it. And then if you open this project, it's going to be an actual application, a started application we can actually run and use. So the application that we get started with is a little bit more than a Hello World application. It's a to-do app, which allows you to add to-do items and then complete to-do items. It's just a very simple application just to show how Visual Studio works, just the basics of it. Okay, so we have two columns. Here I can add items. And then on the right, we see the items show up. Now, this might seem very simple. I mean, I'm just adding some items on one side, and they show up on the other side. But this actually makes a full circle, adds the items to the mobile services tables, and then they get pulled in into our applications through mobile services. So if I go back to mobile services, I can show you our table that we currently have. So go into the data tab. We have our to-do item table, which is just created by just pressing that button. And then we have two records. And if I go inside, we'll see we have a new item, which was not completed, and item two, which is also not completed. And these are the items I just added. Now, if you look at the code of how this works, just stop it. If I go to my app class, where my application starts up, let me just close this. Here we go. I think this is too big. Change the size. Is that good? Can people in the back read this? Yeah? Okay. So here you see this code snippet that I showed when you're creating a new application. Let me make it higher. It already has our endpoint and our secret key already done for us. And this is a static variable, so we can access this variable anywhere in our applications just by referencing app.mobileservice. And this is the way for us to actually insert and add items and to do anything that has to do with mobile services in our application. If you wanted to know how to find out the secret key, just go into mobile service. You can just go back to your dashboard, and there are manage keys on the bottom, which you can't see here, but it says manage keys, trust me. And then you're going to be able to see the key here. And there it is. And then that's everything else in this project, in terms of the app file, is the same as creating a new blank project. So there's nothing interesting to show here. There is all the code for mobile services actually in the one page of our application, which is the main page, which you get when you create a blank project. So if I open the code, the mainpage.xaml.cs, you'll see the first thing we have this class, which is called ToDoItem class. And the name of this class is actually the same as our table. And there's a reason for that, and that it has to be that way in order to connect the two. So it has to be the same name. And then here we have three properties. We have the ID, a string called text, and a boolean complete. Which, and you see here, we set the names for the data members, and these are the names that actually go into our table. And I can show you table, we see the columns text and complete, which are the same. And then in our actual main page in our main page class, we have a reference to a to-do table. And we simply do that by just referencing the mobile services variable that we have in app.xaml.cs, and we get the to-do item table. So this is a reference to a to-do table, and this way we can do the CRUD operations, so like inserting and deleting. And to do each one is very just simple one-line code. You just do insert async to-do item, so this is just an object to-do item that has those three properties, and you insert it. And then you read by using very nice-looking link queries, and these link queries actually happen on the server side, so it always saves you some bandwidth. And then you just get a list. You can also do enumerable, and there's some different options you can do. And it's also just one line of code. To update, simply just one line of code. You're just passing the item one to update. And then delete is not shown, but it's also just one line of code, delete async. So those are the four different operations you can do to these items. The way this works is when you pass in, for example, on insert, the to-do item, the object itself is serialized in JSON and sent to mobile services through the REST APIs. And then mobile services receives this object and actually looks at all the properties. And if you notice before when we created this table, there were no columns. And these columns were created automatically depending on the object that we passed in. So what we use is we call something called dynamic schema, that depending on what the object properties are, columns are immediately created with the correct types. So we just went over how to do the structure storage. The backend for the data for on mobile services is actually SQL Azure. And you can manage this data, the raw data yourself. So if you're more comfortable with just going through the SQL Azure portal or just a SQL Management Studio to manage the data, you can do that as well. It's just a very simple SQL Azure database. And then I mentioned that you can have multiple mobile services running on the same database. And the way that's done, for example, if we have mobile services app X and mobile service app Y, and each one of them have the to-do item table, we use a schema where you put the name of the mobile service first with the name of the table second, and that way we make sure there's no collision between the two. We've also added server logic, which I mentioned at the beginning, which allows us to intercept each one of the CRUD operations, for insert, read, delete, and update. And we can put some business logic in between before the items are actually inserted. So we can do things like validation, sending push messages, querying different tables of data, and we can simply just ignore the request or change the object in some way. We can see how to do that. I managed that we have dynamic schema where the columns of the table are created automatically depending on the object properties. And this is something you can actually turn on and off. So we recommend that when you do development, keep this on so columns are created automatically so you don't have to go in and create columns yourself. And then when you go into production, simply just turn it off. That way, if a user tries to add an item with extra properties, it will just get ignored. Now, to write server logic, which I'll do a demo of after this slide, we use JavaScript, and there are a lot of modules that are made available to you. Mobile services is built on top of Node.js, and there are quite a few Node.js modules that are also available to you. But some of the most popular ones that we use, and I use myself, are probably the push.namespace, which has objects for sending push notifications to each one of the different platforms. The tables module, which allows you to access different tables and do operations without actually writing any SQL queries. I mean, if you want to write SQL queries, you can. So you can use the MS SQL module, which allows you to write very rich SQL queries and even execute procedures. So you can do that as well. Here's a little example of executing a procedure to the MS SQL query. And then the types that we have in mobile services currently are the following. For any numeric value that you might have, in mobile services is going to be stored as a float. Any boolean is going to be stored as a bit. A date time is a date time offset. And a string is just an amp varchar. As I mentioned, mobile services is still in preview. So this list will grow. But for now, we found that these are more than enough for most applications. So let's go ahead and add some validations to our applications by adding server logic. So I'm currently in the data tab, and I can see my table. So if I go inside my table, my to-do item table, you see we have these four tabs on top. And if I go to the script tab, this is where I actually can enter my JavaScript code. And then I can choose which operation I want to intercept. And I'm going to do it on insert. So the default function that we get is simply to execute the request. So it's a function called insert that gets passed in the item to insert, the user that's inserting the item. And we'll see how we're going to use that later. And then the request. So we can do things like responding with bad requests or simply executing it. In this case, it simply just goes in, takes the item, and inserts it into the table. But if I wanted to, let's say, check for something in the item, I can easily do that. And if it's not according to what I want, I can just reject the request. So in sake of time, I'm going to copy some code. I'm not going to type it in. So here, I take in the item, and I know I have the text property, because that's what I have in my Visual Studio project. I can show you that again. So I have my text property, which is a string. And I check the length. And if it's less than 5 characters, I simply respond with a bed request. And I tell it, OK, the text is too short. And then otherwise, I execute a request and insert the item. So if the text length is less than 5 characters, the item will not get inserted, and the user will get notified that text is too long, the text is too short. So I didn't do any changes to my project in Visual Studio. I'm just going to run this. Before I do that, I need to save my script, of course. You can't see it down here, but there's a save button. You just have to click to save the request. And as soon as we save this, this already is going to be live in Visual in Windows Azure, and we'll be able to use it. There we go. So running the application, long item. This works. I just do long. I get an exception, and the message we get is text is too short. So all I have to do is just handle the validation on the server side, and then the client side, you just have to handle the exceptions and notify the user. So you don't have to do any validation on the server side, which is way more secure. So I'm going to go into push notifications. If you've ever done push notifications for a Windows Store app or Windows Phone or any push notifications, there's some work involved. This is a little overview of how push notification works for a Windows Store. The stuff on the bottom, these two items, those are already done for you, so you don't have to do anything with them. You just have to use them. And the stuff on top is code that you have to write and stuff you have to handle. So the way this works with mobile services is we have the notification client platform, which is an API that runs in the Windows Store. You have to request a URI. It's a link that Windows Push Notification Service can use to send push notifications to your app instance. So in order to do that, it needs to know where to send it. So you just simply request that URI so you know where to send it. As soon as you get that URI, you send it to mobile services. So mobile services can store it somehow, and then when they need it, they can use it to send you a push notification. When there's a need to send a push notification, let's say someone sent you a message or there's some kind of update, mobile service will authenticate with push notification with the Windows Push Notification Service by credentials that you give it, and I'll show you how to do that. And then after it authenticates, it simply takes that URI and that push notification you want to send and sends it to notification client platform. And that you don't have to worry about any of that. That's automatically handled by mobile services and the push notification service. It's all done for you. So mobile services integrates with the notification service, the Windows notification service, to provide different types of live updates, such as toasts, tile updates, badges, so you can see the numbers on the side, and also row notifications. In the portal, I'm going to show you in a second, all you do is just simply store the credentials to how to authenticate with the Windows Notification Service, so mobile services knows how to do that. And then in your server-side scripts, all you do is just use the push.wns module to send these push notifications. And you can do different kinds of push notifications. I'm going to show you that right now. So the first thing I'm going to show you is how to actually add your credentials to the mobile services portal. So at the top here, we have this push tab. And this is used for push notifications. And here we have two fields that we need to fill in, which is the client secret and the package SID of our application. To get these, you would have to create or reserve a name in the Dev Center for Windows Stores, or in your Windows Store account. So currently, I'm logged in into my dashboard in Dev Center, and I can see all my applications. Let me just go back so I can show you. So these are all my applications that I have registered. They're not in the store. I just have them registered so I can save the name. And then all I have to do is just get their package ID and the client secret. I click on Edit and go to Advanced Features, which, as you can read here, it says Configure Push Notifications. I click on Push Notification and Live Connect Service Info, and this will redirect me to the Dev Center for Live accounts. So I can just say authenticate your service, and here are my package ID and my client secret. I'm going to copy these. And I'm going ahead and save this so Mobile Services knows how to connect to my application by using these credentials. And then the second part of this is we have to also let our application know what these credentials are. So I'm going to go back to my applications. And you can do this manually by going to the package manifest. But there's actually a better solution, and that's just by right-clicking on the project, going to store, and then saying associate app with the store. And this will automatically pull in all the data from the store portal to your application. So you don't have to do it manually. So you have to log in. And this will get the list of all my applications that I have in the store so I can select which one I want to associate with. And then we'll just simply pull in all the data, and then our application has been associated. Now, we have to follow the three steps that I just showed you. Let's close this. And that is to get a channel URI from the notification service, send the channel URI to mobile services, store it, and then use mobile services to send the push notification. So to do this, I'm going to create a channel table in mobile services to actually store channels for our application. So I'm going to go back here and go to data. And here I'm going to show you how to create a new table. You can't see it right here, but there's a plus button that says new right here in the corner. And I click that. Actually, sorry. There's a plus button in the middle. It says create. I click that, and Git pops up with this wizard. I just type in a name for my table and call it channel. And I just click the check mark, and this will create a new table in our database. And now I have to write some code in my project to actually get this channel URI and store it in my channel table. So first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to create a channel object. And this object just has three properties, the ID, a URI, and then I have a string device, which we'll see in about a few minutes how I'm going to use this. And then this is the object I'm going to use to store my URI in mobile services. And then each time my application runs, I'm going to go through the process of getting this URI and storing it to mobile services. So in my onLaunch method, which is gets called when my application launches, at the end, I'm going to go through that whole procedure. Now I'm using some asynchronous methods here, so I'm going to have to make this method asynchronous. And I have to pull in some namespaces. There we go. So let's go through this code. So first thing I do, I just use the push notification channel manager, which is an API that's part of Windows runtime. And I just get a notification channel for my application. And this will just give me that object. And then I simply create a new channel object. Here I'm doing some kind of validations to make sure that I haven't sent a channel URI to mobile services already. So I'm checking to see if I've stored an ID in my application settings. So if I have, my ID will be the ID of my object in mobile services. Otherwise, it'll be null. So here, if I've already sent a URI to mobile services, I'm going to update that URI. Otherwise, I'm going to insert a new channel, which is the object we just created, and I'm going to store the ID in our application settings. So next time, I don't have to insert a new URI. I can just update the one that's already there. So that's it. So before I actually do anything, I want to send a push notification. So I want to add that code. So back into my mobile service, we're going to add code. So each time we insert a new to-do item, we'll send a push notification to all the users actually using our applications to notify them there was a new item inserted. So again, going back to our script. I already have this code. Let this save, and I'm going to go through the code. Okay. So when an item is inserted, I simply execute the request, so insert the item into the mobile services, and then I send a notification. I use this function that I've created below here to send a notification for this item. So in the send notification function, I get reference to the channel table by using the tables module. So I get a reference to the channel table that I created. And then for each channel in my channels table, get rid of this. Each channel in my channels table, I send the push notification. So I check to see if the device is a Windows Store application. And if you notice in my code, I set the device from here to be Store. So I'm checking to see the Store. I'm going to use this code to show you how to also do it for Windows Phone 8, how to use the same mobile service. So here, if this is channel URI is for a Store application, I simply use the push.wns. And I send a toast image and text 03 toast notification. And otherwise, if this is not Store, I'm assuming it's a phone channel URI, and I use the MPNS namespace to send a toast to a Windows phone. And I'll show you how to do that later on in this session. And I already saved this, so we're ready to run our application. There we go. And let's go ahead and insert a new item. And then we got a toast notification pop up in our application. And I like to use this guy because this guy is awesome. Yeah, and we can add another one. So that easy. We didn't write any code in our applications to actually show up these toast notifications. Mobile services did all the work for us. We just told it where to send the push notification. Moving on, we're going to talk about how to actually authenticate your users so you can check to see if the users have access to certain data or when a user inserts an item to categorize the item of what user inserted the datum. So as I mentioned at the beginning, you can authenticate against a Microsoft account, a Twitter account, Facebook account, and a Google account fairly easily. And we're going to do this with Twitter in the next few slides. And then you can set permissions in each one of your tables of who can access this data just by selecting a simple drop-down. You can say, I want people to be able to select if they're only authenticated. So you can do that. And then if you remember, I showed you there's a user object in which one of your scripts that gets passed in. This user object stores data such as a user ID. So if a user is logged in, this user object will have a user ID, which you can take and store in your table to associate each data with each user. So I'm going to make sure my user is actually logged in on Twitter before I actually show them my push notification. If I show them my to-do items or actually let them enter new to-do items. So I'm going to restrict my table. Save this. So in my to-do item table, I'm going to go to the permission tab, which is right there in the bottom, right next to the script and columns tab. And here I can change permissions. Right now, the default is that anybody can access them that has the application key. But if I change this to only authenticated users for all each one of the operations, let's see what happens. So I'm going to run my application without doing any changes again. And then as soon as my application runs, it tries to get items. But because we've restricted access, we get this exception that says unauthorized. So we need to somehow log in our users to be able to read items from mobile services. I'm going to use Twitter this time. Going back to mobile service, I'm going to go to dev.twitter.com. And I already have created an application here. But to create your own application takes about 2 minutes. You can just go to dev.twitter.com, say new application, and you're on your way. And then I'm going to use the consumer key and the consumer secret key. And then I need to tell Windows Azure Mobile Services how to use these keys. So I'm going to go to the Identity tab right here, right next to the Push tab. And then you can see here we have settings for each one of the providers. And I want to use Twitter. So I'm just going to simply copy these keys. It's the consumer key. And that's the consumer secret key. There we go. And that's saved. And now we have to authenticate our users. And this is my favorite part. I'm going to go, before we actually refresh any items, we're going to write some code. Can anyone guess how many lines of code we're going to write? OK, it's going to be one, I'll tell you right now. So all we do, we just get a reference to our, let's make this asynchronous. We get a reference to our mobile service, calling the logging in async method, and then we pass in an enum telling it how we want the user to be logged in. And you can actually look at this. This Facebook, Google, Microsoft. So you can choose which one. So you can actually implement all four of them and let users pick how they want to log into your application. So let's go ahead and run this and see what happens. There we go. So our application launched, and then the web broker opened up. So we didn't do anything. We just called that one function, and then mobile services took care of everything that's letting us log in. So all you have to do is just using your credentials. And now we're able to actually use the application. Twitter. There you go. And we get the push notifications. OK, so we're getting to the scheduler. So we saw how to write scripts for each one of the CRUD operations so it can intercept the whole CRUD pipeline. And you can add your business logic in each one of those operations. But if you want to run scripts at a specific time or a specific schedule, you can use the scheduler to do those. And you have all those modules that we already mentioned for your scripts, for your business logic scripts on your operations, they're available to your scheduler. So you can set the schedule at any period you want. The minimum is every 15 minutes. And then for that, you can go up to several months. And then you can also execute the scripts on demand just by clicking a button, the script will run. And there are a lot of examples that you can think of that can do this. You can aggregate RSS feeds and then update a live tile on an application. You can back up your database if you want to do that at a periodic time. And you can do some kind of processing like resizing images, stuff like that. So I'm going to create a new scheduler. And what we're going to do, we're going to actually go to Twitter, get some tweets, and actually show a live tile on our application with this one tweet. So to create a new scheduler, we go to the Scheduler tab. And then we don't have any, so we're going to create a new scheduled job. Give it a name. I like the name job. It's very simple. And then you can select the schedule or I'm going to select it on demand because I just want to run it once. So this will create a schedule for us. And then when I go inside, I can see settings, so when it was last run or once the next run, so you can do that, and you can change the schedule. And then in the script tab, you can actually write your code. Currently, it just uses the console module, which I'll show you later on, to just add a warning. But I'm going to change this. I'm going to use my own code. So my function, it has to have the same name as my schedule. It's called job. It calls the get updates and notify function, which I have down here, which simply goes to Twitter, uses the search Twitter API, which is free up to a certain amount of searches. And then you get all the tweets. And then for each one of those tweets that you get, we're going to call the send notification function down here and pass in each tweet. And then for each tweet, we're going to get the same way we did it for our toast notifications. We're going to get our channel table. So we're going to use the table module to get our channel table and go through each one of those channels in that table and send this notification or this live tile to our application. And then here I'm checking to see if this is a store application. So if this URI belongs to a Windows Store application, I'm going to use the push.wns module to send tile, wide, small, image, and text, so forth. And I can show you actually the different types of live tiles you have if you don't know. So here we go. Oops, nope. So if you go to, if you can just search this online, and you can see all the different live tiles you can have. So each one of these have a name, like tile square text 03, which is just four lines of text. Each one has properties. So you can choose each one. And here I'm just choosing to use the send tile wide, small, image, and text 04, which is a text, which is an image on the left, and then two lines of text on the right. And then otherwise, if this is another device, in this case it's going to be a Windows phone, I'm going to use the MPNS module to send a flip tile to a Windows phone with the contents of that tweet. Now, since I'm sending a wide tile to my application is going to have a wide tile. So I'm going to have to add a wide tile. And I'm going to show how to do that. And you do that in the package manifest. Just simply go to package manifest. And you select what image you want to use for your wide tile. And it's 310 by 150 pixels. I already have one. It. Let's just go ahead and run it once so it actually updates. And this already saved. Our application runs. Not going to log in. And here's our application. This is the live. This is the update, the tile that I gave it. So let's go ahead and run our script and see what happens. So run once. And then hopefully this will show up with the live tile with our tweet. There are a lot of tweets going on. There we go. So somebody said, lol at the fact that I didn't even get to blow dry my hair this morning. So yeah, weird tweet. But you can see the image and you can see live tile. So I didn't write any code in my application, none at all. Everything was handled through mobile services to send this push notification or this live tile to my Windows Store application. Okay, so finally, the final demo that I have is I'm actually going to already have a Windows Phone application, which is the same application as my Windows Store application. And I'm just going to show you how you can have two applications, two platforms using the same mobile service. So my Windows Phone application is actually right here, my first project. And I just have to let it know what mobile service to connect to. So I'm going to go back to my Azure portal. And then back to my welcome screen, I'm going to go onto the Windows Phone app. and then connect an existing Windows Phone app. And I'm going to get the same snippet that I already had for my Windows Store application. And then I'm just going to copy that in my project. There we go. And then this application does the exact same things as our Windows Store applications. I can show you down here. It gets a channel URI by using the Windows Phone notification service and sends this channel URI and stores it in our channels table. But instead of calling it store, it calls it phone. So that's how we can tell mobile services which type of channel URI it is, so it knows what kind of push notification to send. And then in the main page, you can also see it has the same type of code where you can just insert an item or read an item or update an item. So it's very similar code. The actual SDKs are actually very, very similar. So most of this code can be portable, so you can actually write it once. So let's go ahead and run this. It'll take a little while to deploy. Let's try one more time. For some reason, you can't get to our mobile service. Okay, anyways, well, I'm going to skip this part. But if it did work, you'd be able to see that adding a new item will actually send a push, a toast update to both our applications, and then the scheduler will also update the lifetime on our window in our application just by using the same mobile service. So you can do that with two different platforms in the same mobile service. Finally, I'm going to show you how to do view diagnostic data, logging data, how to use the console module, and then how to scale your applications if you need to. For diagnostic, if you go to the dashboard, you can see diagnostic data such as how many API calls have been made at a time period, how much CPU time you've used, and that's important because when you get the free mobile service, you actually use a shared instance. So you share the virtual machine or with other mobile services. So you don't have your own dedicated virtual machine. So you need to tell how much CPU time you're using. And if you're using way too much, you can actually move on to your dedicated instance. And then you can also see how much data you've sent out, which is good because your whole Windows Azure, you're limited to 165 megabytes of data per month. So it's good to keep track of that. For logging, you can use the console module to log errors, warnings, and just simple informational messages. I'm going to show you where to see those. And then if you need to scale your applications, if it gets very popular, you can scale up to your own dedicated virtual machine. And you can scale the instance count depending on what you need. And then you can also scale up your database to a higher capacity database or its own dedicated database. So if you look at that into the portal, if you go to the dashboard, this is where we can see our diagnostic data. And then here you can see we've done about 20 API calls. So this is the red one. The blue one is how much CPU time we've used, and that's about 4.5 seconds. And we've sent out about 9 kilobytes of data to our application. And then if we go to the log tab on the side, here you can see all the logs our application has had. For example, here is an error in one of our scripts. You can look at the details. You can see what line of code it was, or here the channel expired, for example. So there's a warning and there's information. And then in scale, the scale tab on top, you can see how you can actually move on to a reserved instance for mobile services. Again, I mentioned you're at the free, in the free mode. When you get your first mobile service, you're sharing it with other mobile services. And then here you can actually upgrade your database to higher. So if you go to business, you can go up to 150 gigabytes. Of course, this costs a lot more. A lot more than free. And then in the Configure tab, I just want to show you this. Here is where you can actually change what database you're using for your mobile service. And here's where you actually turn on and off your dynamic schema. So this is where you can do that. So in summary, I'm kind of ahead of time, but we talked about mobile services, how you can use it as a very quick backend for mobile applications. Again, you can use it for Windows Store applications, Windows Phone 8 applications, iPhone and iPad, so iOS, Android applications. And the next session, I believe, you're going to learn how to use it with iOS and Android applications. So make sure you stay here. And then you can also use it for HTML and JavaScript web applications. We have an API for that. We saw how you can easily use the structured data APIs to store and retrieve data. How do you use the server logic scripts to actually intercept the CRUD pipeline and add your own business logic in between. How to easily provide authentication for users without actually doing anything, just simply signing up for an application and just copying some keys. How to use the push notifications without actually implementing any code. You just tell Windows Azure Mobile Services your credentials, and it does it for you. The scheduler, how to do different tasks at a specified time. Stuff as you saw the channel expired, so you can go through each one of your channels and remove the expired ones. So that's one thing you can do. We saw how you can log and log data, and how you can see diagnostic data, and then how you can scale up your applications. These are some useful resources. And I believe the slides will be available online. Yeah, so you can download these and you can go through all these. There are a lot of different examples online done by a lot of people on the DP team at Corp that show you how to do things like uploading to blob storage, things like saving video, example, with mobile services. I've seen people create applications for messaging using mobile services where they actually insert something in a table and then notifies the user as a new message and they use it as a messaging application. So it's very powerful what you can do. So thank you for coming, and I will be at the expert zone if you have any questions.
But if you have any questions now, I think we've got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it possible to use not just SQL Azure for data storing, like, I mean, table or blobs from this console?
You do have to use SQL Azure, but you have full access to table storage, for example, through scripts. So in the scripts, you have the table, I'm not sure what it's called, actually, it might not be the table module, but you can access the table structure storage. You can insert items and get items that way. So you can have your SQL Azure database as your backend mobile service, but if you want, you can intercept the insert and just store it in your table, for example. On read, you can just read it from your table. But for your SQL Azure, you have to have Azure SQL.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions?
Oh, make sure you do the...
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Can we design databases, SQL Azure databases, from Management Studio?
Yes, you can. So is your question if you can add columns and create tables through Management Studio?
Yes,
you can. So you have full access to the raw SQL database. So you can use that to create your tables, create your columns. You can disable dynamic schema completely, so you're free to do that. Yeah. There's a question back there.
Yeah. So bright.
What about implementing your own authentication mechanism? I mean, store users in your own table. Is it possible at all?
So instead of using some of the authentication providers?
Yes.
You should be able to. You can create your own user table, and then you can, in your server scripts, you can access the user table each time a user, and then you can store any application settings. Yeah,
but
user data.
How I then will identify user within the requests, I mean within the scripts?
Sorry?
The user object which is passed to the scripts on the data, can it be filled with my own user ID?
That's a good question, actually. I've never actually tried to do that, but I can find out. So just come find me after this, and then I'll give you my card, and I'll...
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Good. One more question.
Hello. How can we handle sending of complex objects to our Windows mobile services?
Yeah, so what you can use, if you've ever used, for example, converters for XAML, I don't know if you ever used that, but it's a very similar way. You actually tell mobile services how to serialize your object. So if you have, for example, if some complicated object has multiple properties, you can actually implement this interface that we have, that before it actually sends it to mobile services, it passes through this convert function, and it has two functions you have to implement. Convert to JSON and convert from JSON. And then you implement this object, and then each time it passes to mobile services, it will serialize it in the way you want. And then when it gets to mobile services, you have to implement the same method, same algorithm to deserialize it and store it in your objects through server-side scripts. So yes, you can do that.
Okay, and one more question. How we can do some kind of global function on our mobile services for reusing some functions?
So you can. Your question is: can you have a global function to use it in multiple different scripts?
In source updates.
You can't do that right now. No, because the way it's done, we use we give you a function that you have to use, and this function is only used in that context. It's not global context.
I see. Thanks.